Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit again today. We're on the second day of The Book Thief. We gave you a summary of The Book Thief in our program last time, but today we're going to talk about the actual author himself. He was born in Germany, but later immigrated to Australia and grew up there. And he has published lots of books, especially for young readers.
Yeah, actually, that's where he became famous. He was writing books for young kids for a long time. And then he decided, hey, I'd like to try a book for adults. And that's when he wrote The Book Thief. We're going to talk more about his life and where he got his inspiration for the book, The Book Thief. Where did he get this plot from? Comes from his background, from his family. So let's get started, guys. We're going to read through today's lesson, and then we'll be back to discuss it. The Book Thief is the fifth novel written by Australian author Marcus Zusak. His early works were targeted at younger adults, but he wanted to venture in a different direction with The Book Thief. Specifically, Zusak wanted to retell his parents' experiences while growing up during the Nazi era in Austria and Germany. They lived through intense bombing campaigns, which killed many people and decimated towns. They also witnessed the appalling treatment of the Jews during the Holocaust. Through it all, they saw humans behaving with great cruelty, but also with great charity in attempts to help one another. His parents eventually immigrated to Australia in the late 1950s. Thanks to his previous success, Zusak faced some lofty expectations for The Book Thief, which was released in late 2005. Still, Zusak was undaunted, as he recounted in an interview. He has always sought to top himself with each new book he writes. Why should this one be any different? So, he began by interviewing his parents to get all the little details of their story down on paper. They told him of the bombing of Munich during World War II, and his mother described how she'd witnessed Jews being marched through her small town. From these chilling, real-life tales, Zusak derived the backdrop for his fictional story, which would be told in the innovative and poetic style that has become his calling card. Since its release, The Book Thief has sold over 8 million copies worldwide and was listed on the New York Times bestseller list for almost 5 years. With all the critical acclaim surrounding The Book Thief, Zusak's fans are already looking forward to his next book, Bridge of Clay.
Okay, so let's talk about the author of The Book Thief. It's the fifth novel written by Australian author Marcus Zusak. Okay, and again, he's from Australia, and his early works, his early stories and novels were targeted at younger adults. Here we have the verb to target. It can also be a noun, but we'll talk about it as a verb. That means that's what you're aiming at. That's what you want to accomplish. You select it as your object of attack or interest. So here, they were targeted at younger adults. No, I didn't want to kill them. They were just written for younger adults so they could enjoy them.
Cool. Well, he wanted a change of pace, you could say. He wanted to venture in a different direction with this new book called The Book Thief. To venture is a verb. It means you are pretty daring. You take a risk to do something or go somewhere that might be a little bit dangerous, a little risky, maybe even unpleasant sometimes. Maybe some of you have ventured out into typhoons. When we have typhoons, we're told or encouraged to stay indoors because it's safer. Sometimes I want to venture out to see what it's like outside, if the wind's really as strong as they say.
Well, I ventured out in a typhoon when I first came to Taiwan.
Yeah,
it's not a good idea because winds can blow things around and blow signs off of buildings. They could cut you up badly. So, stay indoors during typhoons.
Yes. That's good advice. Well, specifically, or to tell you specifically how he was going to venture or go in a different direction, this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to retell his parents' experiences while growing up during the Nazi era in Austria and Germany. When you talk about a particular era, it's a particular time in history where something special happened. Maybe we're living through the computer era, the internet era. Here it was, of course, the Nazi era. The Nazis were ruling the country of Germany at that time. They'd already taken control of Austria as well. And they were trying to, attack as many countries as they could and take control. They wanted to dominate the world.
Yeah, they pretty much got all of Europe except for Russia and England. I'm not sure if they got into Spain at all, but it doesn't really matter. And he knew his parents had lived through all that, so he wanted to retell his parents' experiences while growing up during the Nazi era in Austria and Germany. That's specifically what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived through intense bombing campaigns, which killed many people and decimated towns. So to live through something just means you were alive when something was happening in history. Intense means, well, a lot of things were happening in a short amount of time. Okay, intense, existing in a high degree. It's very forceful. It's extreme. For example, sometimes when you take a test, you have to have intense concentration. And you can't be really lazy when you take a test. Bombing, of course, is when an airplane drops bombs on another country, or they might be delivered by rockets. That's what the Allies did to many cities in Germany. They just bombed the heck out of those cities, as did the Americans to the Japanese, etc. They have these bombing campaigns.
A campaign is used in different ways, as most of you know. Typically, you'll see it used to talk about when we are trying to elect officials to run our government, right? But it can also be used to talk about an organized set of actions where you want to achieve a particular goal. Could be an advertising campaign that you have at work to tell people about your product. Or here it's a series of military operations where they have an objective. Here they're trying to bomb some of these countries into giving up, into surrendering. So we're calling it a bombing campaign because they bombed lots of different towns and killed many, many people and decimated towns. If you decimate a place, you destroy it completely. It's almost flattened to the ground. There are no people or buildings left. It's terrible.
Yes, indeed. Lots of cities in Japan were decimated by American bombing, for example. And, again, his parents also witnessed the appalling treatment of the Jews during the Holocaust. If you witness something, that means you see it happening, especially if it's a crime or some kind of horrible thing happening. And if something's appalling, it's really terrible. It makes you sick to hear about it. You could say that someone's behavior was appalling. Your son's behavior is appalling. You need to do something about it or we're going to kick him out of school.
Ooh.
And so they had appalling treatment of the Jews. The Jews were not treated well during the Holocaust, which, of course, is slaughter on a mass scale, killing lots and lots of people. And notice here, Holocaust has a capital H. That is referring specifically to the Nazi Germans' destruction and mass slaughter of the Jews during World War II. 6 million of them, more or less. It's hard to count that. But, of course, that happened during World War II, and we all know about it.
We sure do. We try not to forget about it, although some people in this world actually say it never happened, which is kind of crazy, but yeah, it did happen. I've been to some of the concentration camps in Europe, and I saw where they used to put some of the Jews and burn them to death into these ovens. It was terrible.
I think they put them in the ovens after they killed them.
After they gassed them.
Yeah, that was the way to do it. But yeah, if you want to find out all about that stuff, head to those museums in Europe there.
Yeah.
And yes, his parents witnessed the appalling treatment of the Jews during the Holocaust. And through it all, throughout that experience, They saw humans behaving with great cruelty. Mm. Cruelty means you're treating someone really badly. You don't care about their pain. You don't care about their suffering. Cruelty, that's from the word cruel, which means to treat something really badly. Some people are cruel to animals, for example. And, of course, they had great cruelty, the Nazis treating those people the way they did.
But his parents also saw people during the war really have a lot of charity or give great charity. If you're charitable or you see charity, you see people helping other people. Not because they're being paid, they're volunteering to help others who need help, which is really great. Some very famous charities in the world would be the Red Cross, which goes and helps people in countries that have had natural disasters. So charity can be an actual organization where money is collected to help people who are needy, or it can be the actions of just being kind and being tolerant and trying to help people without any thought for yourself. You're being unselfish. In an attempt to just means in an effort to. They're trying to help one another by showing charity, perhaps by sharing food that they have or helping someone who's been injured that they don't even know. Good things happen during wars as well as bad things.
Yeah, not all the Germans were terrible, vicious, cruel killers.
No.
I've met quite a few Germans in my life, and most of them are pretty cool. Germans are fun to hang out with. They're kind of laid back. They have a good time. And they also got really great beer and bratwurst, which, of course, is a kind of German sausage or German hot dog. Okay, that brings us to the end of the first part of our lesson for today. Let's listen to our marvelous Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要介绍的是《偷书贼家》的作者。《偷书贼》是澳洲作者 Marcus Zusak 他的第五本小说。第一段的第二个句子提到 ,His early works were targeted at younger adults, but he wanted to venture in a different direction with the book Thief. 其实他早期的作品呢都是主要是以青年读者 younger adults 为主的。不过他想要借由这本书来尝试一些不同的方向。在这里我们用的动词 venture 其实就是有大胆的去尝试、冒险的去做的意思。举个例子来说， We ventured on the project without preparation. 我们没有做任何的准备，就大胆的尝试了那项计划。而常常听到的谚语，不入虎穴，焉得虎子，你也可以就用这个动词，在英文里面就说Nothing ventured, nothing gained. 接着我们来看一下咯，他写这本书是有怎么样子的背景。在第一段的中间提到 They lived through intense bombing campaigns, which killed many people and decimated towns. 这里的 they 呢，指的就是 Zusak 他父母当时在奥地利跟德国的这样子成长的经历，父母曾经历经过密集的军事轰炸行动。在这里的 intense 正是有强烈的、激烈的意思，像是剧痛叫做 intense pain， 酷热 intense heat。 而 campaign 这个名词呢，除了解释成为一连串的军事行动之外，常常也用来指的是社会跟政治的运动，像是 a campaign against tobacco 指的就是禁烟的运动。当然呢，这样子的轰炸的行为造成许多的损害。They also witnessed the appalling treatment of the Jews during the Holocaust. 他的父母同样也目睹了当时犹太人在大屠杀期间所受到的可怕的待遇。这里的动词 witness 是一个非常重要的动词，解释成为目睹或者是亲眼看见的意思。举个例子来说， The last 50 years witnessed remarkable advances in technology， 也就是说最近的50年来目睹了科技显著的进展。而后呢，他的父母亲则是移居到澳洲去了。 We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with today's lesson. Remember, we're talking about the author of The Book Thief, Marcus Zusak. We did say that he started off writing books for young adults, but later he ventured into a different direction with The Book Thief. He wanted to tell the story of his parents coming from Germany during World War II and what they witnessed there, the appalling treatment of the Jews and stuff like that. And again, his parents have eventually immigrated to Australia in the late 1950s. Well, thanks to his previous success, Zusak faced some lofty expectations for The Book Thief, which was released in late 2005. So that actually came out almost 10 years ago, so the book has been on the market for quite some time. Lofty means pretty high. That's the lofty heights, for example, the lofty mountains of the central mountain range here in Taiwan.
Well, you know what a loft is?
Yes.
Loft is a really high apartment that you can rent. It has high ceilings. So lofty expectations, lofty goals. If you have really big goals and dreams you want to accomplish, you'll see lofty, especially when we talk about goals.
Exactly. And expectations, of course, are what people expect from you, what they want to see. Lots of parents have high or lofty expectations of their kids. Don't bother coming home for Chinese New Year if you don't get straight A's going to Harvard. Okay, we're going to disown you if you don't do that, or if you don't play the violin for a world-famous orchestra or something like that. They have lofty expectations for the kids. And so, yes, he maybe had some of these expectations on himself or from his readers.
Uh-huh.
And again, the book was published, or it came out. It was released in late 2005, but Zusak was undaunted, which means you're not afraid. You know there's a lot of pressure, but you're not intimidated. You're not discouraged. You still think you're going to be successful. You're not scared.
Yeah. Even though you're facing some difficulty, you have the courage to go forward. You're not scared off. Now, it says here that he recounted in an interview that he has always sought to top himself with each book he writes. So even though maybe some of the critics and his readers wanted his next book to be just as good, he actually puts a lot of pressure on himself to do well. If you want to top yourself, it just means to do better than you did the last time. To recount means to tell someone about something or to give an account of an event or an experience, to tell someone what you've been through. So, as he tells us in an interview, he's always tried to do better or make each book better than the one before. So, that's a good goal to have. It's kind of hard, though, and it puts pressure on you.
Right. So, he thought, or he asked himself this question, why should this one be any different? This is the same. I'm going to write a book now that is better than the last one. So he had to make some preparations here, and he began interviewing his parents to get all the little details of their story down on paper. So yes, you need to get some accurate information. He wanted to write about his parents' experiences in a book of fiction, but you need to talk to those people to actually learn about what they saw and what they experienced. So he interviewed them. Maybe he got out his tape recorder and spent lots of time asking them questions. What was it like in Munich in 1942? Tell me about that. How did you feel when you saw those Jews going past and you knew where they were heading for the gas chambers? Tell me all about that.
Well, he said he talked to his mom and she described or told him what she'd seen. It says here she witnessed Jews being marched through her small town. If you witness something, it's a verb that means you see something with your own eyes. So she saw for herself Jews being marched through her town. If you're just being marched, it means someone's forcing you to walk in a line with other people. Usually we see people marching in a parade, right?
Yep.
That's fun. But here it definitely wasn't fun. They were the Nazis were rounding up or collecting all the Jews and then forcing them to march through the small town, and then they were going to take them to these places called concentration camps and keep them prisoner.
Where they would be killed, although later in the war they were using them for labor because the Germans were losing the war at that time.
And experiments.
Indeed, they did lots of nasty things to them. And from these chilling real-life tales, Zusak derived the backdrop for his fictional story, which would be told in the innovative and poetic style that has become his calling card. Ooh, this is a long sentence here. Let's break it down here. From his chilling real-life tales. If something's chilling, it kind of gives you goosebumps as you read it. Wow, did this really happen? This is kind of scary. So chilling can be scary, but it has some kind of effect on you, a very strong emotional effect on you, so you're kind of scared, and maybe you feel a little cold, too.
Yeah, it horrifies you or terrifies you. You can't believe you're actually reading this. It says, from these tales or stories that his parents told him, he derived the backdrop for his fictional story. To derive something from somebody else, and from something else just means that's where it comes from. That's where you get it from. You're obtaining it from that place. Maybe you derive a lot of comfort from your parents and your family when you have something sad happen to you. Well, he got a lot of his stories and the backdrop for his own book from his parents' real-life stories. Backdrop. This is a word that we use to talk about the background for something. So a backdrop is actually used in theater. We call it that cloth that's hung at the back of the theater stage. That's the backdrop, the very last or end of the stage up at the very back part is a cloth that's black. It's called the backdrop. But here it just means kind of the background or the setting for something.
Indeed. So it kind of gave him the background for a story. And then he used this innovative and poetic style that has become his calling card. Innovative means it's very creative, it's new, it's novel, it's special, it hasn't been done before. Innovative. I've heard some people say innovative. I think I heard a Canadian say it that way once, but Americans say innovative with the accent on the first syllable there. That doesn't mean it's correct, but that's just how we say it. And this is his style here. So if you talk about someone's calling card, that means it's their particular style. When you read that style, you know it's that particular author's style.
That's right. When you go and visit someone as a business person, you'll often give them your business card so they know who you are, what you do. Well, if you're a writer, readers know you by your style. You have the same style, hopefully, in the books you write, and they can tell you wrote the book even if they can't see your name on the book cover. So that's his calling card. He has an innovative and poetic style. Well, since its release, or since the book started selling in bookstores, it sold over 8 million copies worldwide or around the world, and was also listed on the New York Times bestseller list for almost 5 years, which is a really, really long time.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular book there, so you can bet he was really happy there, and his retirement is all taken care of there.
Oh, you mean he made some money, huh?
Yeah, I think that's what I meant there. Yeah, he didn't just give it away, although he's probably a nice guy and probably has given some money away to charity, but still, he's made a fortune with this book, and as well as from other books. And with all the critical acclaim surrounding The Book Thief, Zusak's fans are already looking forward to his next book, Bridge of Clay. I wonder what that's about. So, yes, we've got critical acclaim. That means the critics like the book, and they're praising it. They're saying it's good. Critical means having to do with critics, which, of course, are people who write reviews of books and movies and things like that.
Restaurants.
Critical acclaim here. And surrounding just means concerning or having to do with that book.
So I think if you're a Zusak fan, you got to be excited because he's going to be coming out with a new book pretty soon called Bridge of Clay. We don't know exactly when, so I would just, you know, keep your nose tuned to the news, see when it's coming out. That's kind of exciting. Yeah.
It is, very much so. I'd like to check out that book, Bridge of Clay, although it sounds like it would be difficult to walk across such a bridge because your feet would get stuck in the wet clay. But in any case, we're going to end our lesson today by listening to our Chinese teacher one more time.
接着我们来看一下下一段的第一个句子提到 Thanks to his previous success, Zuzak faced some lofty expectations for The Book Thief, which was released in late 2005. 由于呢这是他的第五本小说而前面的几本书的成功当然他所面对的就是大家对他的 lofty expectations, 相当高的期望而这本书呢就是在2005年底出版。这里我们使用动词 release 可以用来指的是发售书籍或者是唱片 Release a new album 指的就是发售新的专辑当然它还有其他的意思像是释放譬如说 release a hostage 则是有释放人质的意思而这里就有提到中间As he recounted in an interview, he has always sought to top himself with each new book he writes. 事实上,在他接受访问的其中有一次他提到呢,他希望借由每一本他所写的新书能够呢寻求能够超越自己 to top himself.而前面的 sought 则是 seek 的过去分词代表着寻求或者是努力获得的意思我们常说追求名声英文就可以说 seek for fame 下一段我们从中间开始看起 From these chilling real life tales Zuzak derived the backdrop for his fictional story which would be told in the innovativeand poetic style that has become his calling card. 借由父母亲的故事呢你会发现这些故事是相当的吓人而且借由他的这些特殊的写作风格这里提到的是相当创新又充满着诗意的风格来描述这本书。而这里有个重要的动词 derive 在这里则是解释成为引出或者是获得就这些故事他就引出获得了他自己小说当中的一些背景故事接着我们来看一下这一段的最后一句咯 With all the critical acclaim surrounding the book Thief, Zuzak's fans are already looking forward to his next book, Bridge of Clay. 随着呢环绕在这本书所有得到的好评跟喝彩 Zuzak 的这些书迷已经期待他的下一本新书了。在这里呢 acclaim 是用来当作名词解释成为欢呼喝彩跟好评
That's it for today Thanks for joining us But make sure you join us again next time When we talk about some of the themes In The Book Thief Until then, for English Digest I'm Tom
I'm Stephanie
Goodbye
Bye